This morning's reading is taken from Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. This can be found on page 1042 in the Church Bibles. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So what have I been doing this week? Let me think. I tried to fill the green wheelie bin before they would come to take it away and empty it. I installed some security updates on all the church computers. I did some practicing before our band rehearsal. We had some plumbing work done at home. There was a planned trip to the vets for our rabbits, and there was an unplanned trip to the dentist for me. I wrote this sermon. I dealt with some people who were angry on the internet. I did my paid job as well. And then there were some things that I didn't actually do, but I did worry about. Almost all of those things were good, worthwhile, even important, some of them. Some were explicitly Christian, none were morally dubious, as far as I'm aware, and none of them was the most important thing, which was spending time in God's Word, listening to Him, praying to Him, and that is more important even than writing the sermon. There has been so much to do, and this is not a complaint. But I did need to take some care in negotiating all the things of the week. And I don't think I'm at all unusual there. Our lives can be very busy. We can get involved in too much stuff. Our work, our family, our community, our hobbies, places we volunteer, people we care for. And it's all good. And it can end up causing us quite a lot of anxiety and worry. So this reading is not unfamiliar territory to many of us. Martha and Mary are friends of Jesus. We meet them and their brother Lazarus again in John chapters 11 and 12. But here, as we heard, Martha invites Jesus to their home. And the two sisters treat the encounter quite differently. It seems that to Martha, hospitality really matters. And caring for Jesus matters. And for her, the way she expresses her love and service to the Lord is by making sure that the arrangements are made for his stay and made properly and things are just right. I think many of us can identify with Martha's sort of approach. We like to welcome our guests properly, have everything just so, have everything clean and tidy. I mean, I wonder what her preparations were. It's quite hard to think ourselves into that first century situation and imagine quite what their home would look like, how Jesus' visit would be. It's quite hard to imagine that, but we've got Jesus and an unspecified number of his disciples. Maybe it's just the 12 apostles. Or perhaps it's more. I mean, earlier in the chapter, he'd sent out 72 into the towns and villages ahead of his route, and they've come back. Maybe they're there as well. I don't know. I guess there's food to think about. Where's everyone going to sit? Will they be sleeping over? If so, where? Perhaps she's feeling like she's bitten off a bit more than she can chew. Do you ever do that? Do you find you've absentmindedly invited both sides of the family for Christmas lunch? And now you're realizing that you need a bigger dining table, half a ton of roast potatoes, and several new armchairs so everyone can unwind afterwards. And if that resonates, did you also find that actually you were on your own with this? I mean, you did volunteer. But somehow, the closer you get, the more daunting the implications feel. It seems to me, perhaps there's a bit of that in Martha. What she's doing for Jesus and his disciples is lovely, it's kind, it's the sort of self-giving love that is meant to characterize Jesus' followers. There's nothing wrong with it, except that it becomes all-consuming for her in that moment. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." All the preparations that had to be made? Why? Who says that they have to be made? Martha herself. She's decided that. In the heat of the moment, she seems to have lost the ability to see the wood for the trees. This is Jesus. This is the teacher. This is the miracle worker. The Son of Man. Come to her village. Come to her house. And this is how she speaks to him. Mary has a very different angle to it all. Sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he says. What Mary's doing for the Lord is also lovely, respectful, and attentive. But in that moment, Martha just can't see the simple beauty of what her sister is doing. These two sisters, they are both trying to be attentive to Jesus. They're both trying to honor and respect him. One's attending to his physical needs. One is hanging on his teaching. Both have good motivations. And yet one seems to be missing the mark. Being in Jesus' presence, hearing his teaching, experiencing his peace and reassurance is such a blessing. And it's one that's available in that moment to both of these sisters. They both have this amazing chance, as we do as well, this amazing chance to know the one through whom all things were made, who wants to know them and us, who wants to befriend them and us. friends, to know that he values us and wants us to experience his presence so closely forever, that in order to make it possible, he would go to the cross of Calvary. To know that he wants that for us, it's astonishing, but it's true. And that's the closeness and the acceptance that Mary is getting a foretaste of here as she sits at Jesus' feet in her own home. And Martha's also invited and welcomed to that same possibility. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. And Martha is worried and upset. And some of the things she's trying to do for him are really worth caring about. They are worth doing well. Maybe some other time. And Jesus so gently reminds her that only one thing is the top priority, and that is being with Jesus, enjoying his presence, having him alongside. The thing that gets me in this reading is what Martha says in verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And that's a rebuke to both Mary and to Jesus. Martha sees that it's obvious that she's right and Mary's wrong about how to show respect and attention to Jesus, and that Jesus really needs to get himself sorted out and tell her sister what to do. Martha's right, Mary's wrong, Jesus should sort her out. And it is much better to tell Jesus how we feel than to bottle it all up. It is so much better. Jesus' answer, as we saw, is gentle but clear. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing's needed. Martha has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The two sisters have taken very different approaches to being attentive to Jesus. Mary's choice is to spend time at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching, and that is just fine with Jesus. She has this amazing privilege of being with the Lord. And he's not going to take that away from her. It's at his invitation that she is there. I mean, sometimes it feels, doesn't it, like we have to do stuff, even if it feels like we can't. We just don't have the resources. Because if we don't, then nobody will. And it's important stuff that needs to be done by somebody. It seems to me that there's another danger here for Martha. If she were to carry on down this road, if Jesus didn't call her back. I don't think we quite see her fall into this danger, but the way she speaks about Mary and speaks to Jesus suggests that if these things continued, she might start to see these jobs she's doing, these preparations she's making, as actually the thing that'll give her fulfillment in their own right, that they would become the object that she's working for. I have to get these preparations just right. Even if it breaks me because I'm doing it all by myself, because that's what will make Jesus love me. But Jesus lovingly intervenes and corrects Martha, pointing her back to the right priority. Mary's resting in his presence, listening to him, and Jesus is fine with that. But poor Martha. It is horrible when we fear that we have to do stuff to be loved and accepted, when we feel like life is some sort of horrible game where we're trying to guess what it is that others need us to do that will finally make them accept us. Just for a moment, let's rewind back many, many centuries before Jesus and Martha and Mary to one of the saddest tales in the Old Testament, that of Leah in Genesis chapter 29. Do you remember Leah and her sister Rachel? Jacob had wanted to marry Rachel, but he got tricked into marrying her sister, Leah, first. He got Rachel in the end, 7 years later, and the result was a thoroughly messed up family, with Jacob having 12 sons by four different mothers. Leah was not loved by Jacob, and she convinced herself that the way to earn her husband's affection was by having lots of sons, giving Jacob the descendants he needed, and being a good wife, even if he didn't appreciate her for it. The tragedy of Leah's story is reflected in the names that she gives her sons, because each of the names says something about her state of mind and how she saw her life at that moment. "Now my husband will love me," she says, as she names a son. "Now this time my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him three sons." And it's with son number four that things start to change for Leah. She calls the fourth son. What does she call the fourth son? I've said Jacob, and that's not right. It's Judah, isn't it? It's Judah. She calls him Judah, and she says, "This time I will praise the Lord. This time I'll praise the Lord." The object of her longing has changed. She's no longer trying to find what it is that'll win her husband over. Now she's focusing on her God. Just focusing on the Lord. Busyness doesn't bring us into God's presence. That's what Martha was discovering in this reading from Luke. Doing stuff, working harder and harder, even if we think we're doing these things for God, doesn't in itself bring us closer to Him. That sense of building resentment in Martha should set alarm bells ringing. If we spot that same thing happening in our own lives, the same alarm bells should be starting to ring. Martha was trying to do something lovely for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet, she got something not quite right. Because Mary was doing something lovely for Jesus too. What brings us close to God? What is it that makes it possible for us to sit in God's presence and to enjoy His goodness close up and not be consumed? Mary has the answer right there beside her. Jesus Himself. He's the one who makes this possible. He invites Mary and Martha and us to have faith in Him, to be in Christ, to be made holy and righteous in His eyes. That's what makes it possible for any of us to be in God's presence, where he is now ready and keen to welcome in anyone who trusts in his son Jesus. Martha was worried and upset about many, many things, distracted from the beautiful opportunity of being with Jesus, sitting at his feet, listening to him, enjoying his presence. And I think Martha's experience is not unfamiliar to many of us. It certainly resonates for me. Our lives can be really busy. Our world is busy. There are expectations. There are so many important things that, yes, do need doing. And yet that easily end up making us anxious and worried. Jesus longs for us to prioritize resting in his presence and knowing his peace. He loves us like he loved Martha and Mary. And just like he did for them, he invites us to put aside our distractions and spend time with him. And he invites us to put aside trying to earn his favor, because the Christian has his favor already. Amen.